Good morning, and thank all of you for being here on a kind of a dreary day, but it's good to be that we can come together and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're thankful for some visitors that we have today, and we're so thankful that you've come our way, and we pray that you'll come back and be a part of this congregation. It is always an honor and a privilege for me to stand before you and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. As always, I ask you to open your Bibles and follow along, because I don't want you to take my word. Don't take any man's word, only the word of God. Now, whenever people are determined to live in sin, when they fill to the brim the cup of sin with ungodliness, then God will give them over to sin. He will allow such individuals to follow their chosen course unhindered. Over and over again in the Word of God, this truth is shown. As we look at Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 7, we see God essentially gave up the people of Noah's generation because of wickedness. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Genesis chapter 6, and we'll read verses 5 through 7. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Still later now, in Genesis chapter 18 and 19, we find that God gave up the people of Sodom and Gomorrah because not even 10 righteous people could be found. Let's look at verse 20 of chapter 18, if you would. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. The cry of those cities was altogether ungodly, it was immoral, and it was corrupt. But if we turn our Bibles to Romans now, Romans chapter 1, if you would. Romans chapter 1 and verses 21 through 32, we find the most graphic description of depravity and why men degenerate to it. Look at verses 24 and 26 and 28 of Romans 1. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So why did men regenerate into such a deplorable state of unrighteousness, and why did God give them up for it? Well, the answers to those questions provide a study of faith and morality that is particularly pertinent in such a time as ours. In an age and society that daily sinks further and further into depravity, immorality, and disgusting regard for God and all things good. First, people degenerate when they trust in the wisdom of man rather than in the wisdom of God. Look at Romans 1, verses 18 through 20. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God showeth it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, but being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So, brethren, if man would simply just exercise the sense that he's born with, he could know certain things of God by just looking around him, by looking at the things that are made. In other words, by simply looking at God's marvelous creation. But Paul continues on in verses 21 and 22, and he says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. This problem has plagued mankind from the beginning. There is no one so foolish as the one who thinks he knows it all. Today, in our age of humanism, we're being told that all things begin and end with man, and that the answers to all questions and problems lie within man himself. And so, not willing to be guided by the Lord, God tries to guide himself. And you know what? He can't do it. He cannot do it. True wisdom and the ability to lead one's life to its full potential in righteousness is based upon the knowledge of God. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." But listen, he goes on and says, "But fools despise wisdom and instruction." So leave God out of the picture, man flounders, and he degenerates into a state just as our world is in now. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish in foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. That's what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1:18. Paul also told us in 1 Corinthians 1:21, "The world by wisdom knew not God." Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6 with me. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, when men trust their own ability to guide themselves foolishly, I might add, they will perish. When men trust in their own ability to guide themselves, they're going to lose. They're going to perish. Oh, think of the great intellects of our time. And we are warned in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20. "O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called." Yes, brethren and friends, there is a higher education. It has its place, and science has its place. But it can never reveal God nor His will for man. God reveals Himself through His Word, and when men reject His Word, degenerating into a little more than a debased animal, what happens? God will give them up. He'll give them up. The second point. Man degenerates when he exchanges the truth for a lie. Look at Romans 1, verse 24 and 25. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who have changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever." Can you think of any other time in history when more emphasis was placed upon man, the creature, than God, the Creator, than it is right now? Our society is exchanging the truth of God for a lie. Lies will not save you, no matter how sincerely they're believed upon and acted upon. Jesus said in John 8:32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Then in prayers to His Father in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." Look with me at 1 Peter chapter 1, please. 1 Peter chapter 1. There is nothing else that will purify. There is nothing else that will reverse the tide of generations. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verses 22 and 23, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." So God gave up those Romans in Romans chapter 1 because they rejected His truth and accepted lies. And He will give up those today who do the same thing. There's a story about three boys who were late for school for playing video games. They agreed to tell the principal their tardiness was unavoidable because of a flat tire. They all had their stories. But the principal heard their case, and he placed them each in separate rooms, and he told them to write down which tire was flat. The boys failed the test. They failed the test. And we know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to the Holy Spirit about how much they gave to the Lord. Peter was aware of this, and he asked Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" The crime was not in how much they gave to the Lord. Ananias and Sapphira's mistake was lying about how much they gave, most likely to receive the praises of men. The end result was God struck both of them down to that, and to this day, to confirm, among other things, his unwillingness to condone lying. How differently would things be today if God judged us immediately for lying? How careful would we be to tell the truth? Would we take more seriously God's command to not lie? As Ephesians 4:25, Paul says, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak the truth." The truth is, we're judged by God every time we lie. We are judged by God every time we lie. We might still have breath in our lungs, but that doesn't mean our lies haven't separated us from God. We haven't felt the spiritual consequences yet. We just haven't felt the consequences yet. But we will. The time is coming when all liars shall have their part in the lake with burners with fire and brimstone. That's Revelation 21 and verse 8. This should motivate us to tell the truth and accept its consequences. It might hurt and it might bring us embarrassment, but it won't be as painful and enduring as the final judgment awaiting all liars. The story is told in 1 Kings 13 of the young prophet of God who believed a lie. This young prophet believed a lie. But the man was sincere. He was devoted to God, and he seemed determined in every deed to please God. But he believed a lie. He acted on that lie, and he was slain. So let me tell you something. The warning has been given. It is applicable to our age as to all ages. Look with me at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if you would. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10 through 12 tells us, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." People with no love for the truth will find plenty of lies to believe and to follow. And you know what? God will give them up. The third point I want to make, man degenerates when he enters into sexual immorality and perversion. God is the author of marriage, and he has planned sexual relationship to be honored within its confines. The Hebrew writers tells us in Hebrews 13:4, "Marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge." When two people are joined together as husband and wife, our Lord said, "What God has joined together, let not man put asunder." But in the Gentile world of that time, sexual immorality was a way of life and sociably accepted. So I ask you, what is it today? Sexual immorality is a way of life and socially acceptable. I don't care what man accepts. Just because man accepts it does not mean that it pleases God. Go back to Romans chapter 1 with me. Now, when these people rejected God, just as our society has done, let's look at verses 26 and 27. "For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change." Did you notice that word, "did change"? Not born with, but did change the natural use in which is against nature. They changed. And verse 27, "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was meet." What a terrible, terrible picture there. But the depravity of homosexuality, as described by God's word, is being thrust upon us through TV shows, TV talk shows, newspapers, magazines, internets, and even our government as an acceptable alternative form of sexual orientation. Along with a lot of denominations now are going the same way. I remember a couple years ago it was on the front page of the Courier Journal that the Highview Baptist Church has now ordained a gay minister. I never thought I'd ever see the Baptist Church do that, but they're doing it now. So if God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the sin of homosexuality, what makes anyone foolish enough to believe that it's pleasing to Him now? See, it is sin. It has never been anything but sin. And never, never, never will be anything other than sin. And I don't care if that's politically correct to say so or not. The problem arises when men reject God's word as authority for their lives and then they make their own desires and their standard of authority. God gave them up 2,000 years ago and He still does. The fourth point. Man degenerates when he refuses to have God in his knowledge. It is through the knowledge of the truth and obedience to it that we are made free from the terrible bondage of sin. Look with me, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 1. Brethren, through the knowledge of God and Christ, every spiritual blessing is given. Peter wrote in 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. He wrote, according to His divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Today, men speak a great deal about the grace of God, and rightfully so, but notice what Paul wrote in Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. We need to read this together. Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Brethren, if you want to know, or if you have a question about what my duty on this earth is, well, just read Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 for the answer. Even the grace of God cannot be separated from the knowledge of God. God does not bless or even overlook ignorance. He doesn't overlook ignorance. As we look to the Word of God as a guide for our lives, we must recognize that our lives are to be shaped and molded by it. Jesus speaks of it as of a mirror to revealing to us what we are and what we should be. But when people refuse to retain God in their knowledge instead of becoming like Him, they degenerate. The basic animal lust becomes a rule of life, and God gives them up. Look at Romans 1 again. Back to Romans 1. I'm going to read verses 28 through 32. Now this kind of, think about this. This kind of reads like the metro pages of a most major paper, or maybe even the advertisement pages for the movies that are showing in town. Just think about what he's saying here. Paul wrote in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Verse 32 there is so powerful, brethren. Look what he says here. Verse 32 tells us that those who are not personally guilty of these sins, but they accept it, if they accept those sins, they're going to be judged. A reprobate mind is a mind that did not stand the taste, the test, and hence was rejected. So, my friends, the answer to immorality now is the same it was 2,000 years ago. The Word of God. That's simple. The Word of God. That's the answer to everything, and especially immorality. If we reject God, we will be rejected. And if we ignore His word, His will, and His morality, we will reduce ourselves to moral bankruptcy. And when that happens, God gives us up. God will give us up. Who knows that He has not already done that to some of our mindless, immoral, godless society? The only hope for our immoral society to turn to God is to be with Him, guided by His word, and let Him decide what is moral and what is right. We must. Our dependency has to be on God. He tells us that the only hope for any immoral society is to turn to God. And the only hope for immoral society is to turn to God. Look to Him. Be guided by His word. Let Him decide what is moral and what is right. There truly is no choice if we seek to please Him and live with Him eternally. Now, brethren, the Prairie Village Church of Christ proposes to be a group just like you read about in the New Testament. We give our total allegiance to Christ and His inspired message just as the churches of Christ did in the first century. Our mission is to teach the gospel of Christ for the salvation of your soul. If you're interested in becoming a part of the church who loves the Lord and His inspired message, there are a few things that you must do first. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because He is. You must confess your faith in Jesus and in God that He can save you, for they can. You must be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins. Then you must live faithfully until you die. Then you will receive that crown of life that Jesus promises. Maybe there's some who have done all these things, but you've fallen away. You've left your first love. You've sinned in a way that others are aware of. If there's anyone in the auditorium this morning that wishes to come forward and let us pray with them and pray for you, please do so now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.